day one of Diddy deliberations, Dean.
Yeah, they really nothing happened yesterday. The first day of deliberations began. The jury went into the jury room for about 5 hours. Really, the only story to come out of it was that the foreperson of the jury sent a note to the judge complaining about one of the jurors who was refusing to follow instructions that they were given. So the judge called the jurors in to talk to them about their duties of deliberation and their obligation to follow the instructions. Another note came from the jurors requesting clarification on what qualifies as drug distribution. Judge said he'd give an answer on that this morning. But in terms of you know, any kind of conclusions about the allegations that are made against the rap mogul, nothing. Jury deliberations will resume this morning around 10 o'clock Chicago time.
Let's talk about Pixar's problems.
Yeah, this is kind of interesting. Pixar really hasn't had a major, major hit for quite a while. And they were hoping that it was going to happen this time with their latest movie out that's called Elio, which I gave a good review, and really most critics gave pretty good reviews to. But people are just not going to see this movie. They're not even giving it a chance. It's only made $35 million. It's been out for a couple of weeks, way, way, way below box office expectations on this. But what's interesting is that over the weekend, the Disney Pixar people posted a message on Instagram responding to the poor box office performance, essentially saying everybody complains that Disney isn't making any original stories, but when we make an original story, then people don't even go to see it. So, you know, decide, either stop complaining or go see the movie. You know, that with Lilo and Stitch, which is a live action remake, earning over $945 million over the weekend. So all these people complaining that there's nothing new, all there is remakes, that's what people are going to see. That's why you're only getting remakes, because that's what's making money. And the original movies are not. But Disney Pixar said, put up or shut up, basically.
I don't know if blaming the public, although it might be true, is a good policy for a corporation.
No, probably not good. Probably not the smartest move in the world. But it is an interesting point, though.
Yeah.
When everyone is complaining, oh, there's nothing new, everything's remake, and then nobody goes to see any of the original stuff. I can understand why they would have a reaction like that.
Well, the question is, if they come up with something new and it's really, really good, won't it be a hit?
Well, but people aren't even going to, you know, to give it a chance to find out if it's good or not. It got good reviews. I mean, if you, heaven knows, yeah. I wouldn't, you know, base my life on what critics say. But overall, the critics gave it really good reviews. People just did not go to see it.
Let's talk about the show Always Patsy Cline, and people are going to see that one, and they like it, don't they?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, if you are a country music fan, obviously, if you're a Patsy Cline fan, this is a show that I can't recommend enough. The new show at the Drury Lane, Oakbrook Terrace. Give it a little bit of a listen. It's almost like going to a Patsy Cline concert, going to see this show. It's the story of one night in Patsy Cline's life where she has an encounter with a super fan. And it sort of tells the story of Patsy Cline's short life, her tragic death in a plane crash. But it's mostly music. This show is very, very music heavy. So if you're, as I say, a fan of Patsy Cline music, it's beautifully performed by an actress by the name of Aja Alcazar. She sounds fantastic. There's only one other person in the show, Bree Sudia, who plays the super fan in the show. And it's Drury Lane, Oakbrook Terrace is a beautiful setting. It's a really nice venue to see a show if you want to go and hear some of these timeless Patsy Cline songs. They are really, really well done at this show. Can't recommend it enough. And it's playing out there until at the Drury Lane, Oakbrook Terrace until August the 3rd.
Dean, what is Robert De Niro up to these days?
Something that I never thought I would ever see if I lived to be 100 years old. Robert De Niro went to see The Wiggles in New York City. Robert De Niro has seven children, ranging in age from 53 down to 2 years old. So dear old dad, 81-year-old dear old dad, took his two-year-old daughter, Gia, to see the Australian TV sensations, The Wiggles. Have you ever seen The Wiggles or heard any of their songs? They're a bunch of people, and they sing Hot Potato, Hot Potato. they have a variety of, like little elementary songs. Barney-like. It's all very Barney-like.
I'd like to hear De Niro's review.
He's very familiar with them. Huh. He takes his daughter Gia to go see The Wiggles and said that he frequently watches the show himself with his little two-year-old daughter. So I got to think that he's up on his Blue's Clues and Barney's and whatever else is popular with the kids right now. But fantastic pictures that the Wiggles people posted of the Raging Bull, think about the Taxi Driver, think of all the roles that De Niro has played, and he's sitting there with a bunch of multicolored Wiggles and his little adorable two-year-old daughter right in the middle of it all.
He's saying, "Are you talking to me?"
Hot potato? What do you mean, hot potato, hot potato?
My favorite story of the day is this guy who changed his name because people were having trouble pronouncing it.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems like a good enough reason. Better than most radio people do for changing their names.
Yeah, true.
Constantly. The actor from the TV show It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Rob McElhenney is his former name now. He just, has gone through his whole life with people butchering his last name. And he got tired of it, I guess. But he says now that his projects are moving into other parts of the world and into other languages, it's become even more difficult. So he decided to just make it a lot simpler by legally changing his name to Rob Mack. So we no longer have to go to all the trouble of saying Rob McElhenney anymore. It's just plain old Rob Mack from here on in. He's the one that's partnered up with Ryan Reynolds on that soccer reality show that they have out right now.
And you talked to Allison Williams, that's Brian Williams' daughter, and I've always been a fan of hers ever since I saw her in that HBO series Girls.
Right.
She was really good in that, wasn't she?
Yeah, she's a really good actress, and she's one of the stars of this now what's beginning to be a franchise, the Megan movies. The first Megan movie came out a few years ago about a murderous AI doll. And now the second movie has come out, Megan 2.0. And we spent a little time with her in a Zoom chat talking about the previous movie's success. One of the things that I was interested in was, the attraction that these movies have for people. What are the elements that she thinks make these Megan movies so popular? It's always so interesting to me what clicks and what doesn't. What do you think it is about Megan that is resonating?
Honestly, I think there's something about her persona. She's very, she's kind of fiercely who she is. She's unapologetic. And the movie itself is in on its joke and is campy and self-aware, but the movie, when we make the movie, we take it all seriously and we're doing it all for real and full out and to the best of our abilities. And there's something about that combination that creates a really enjoyable experience in the theater, because you're kind of on the ride with the filmmakers. You're not laughing at the screen, you're laughing with the movie. And the only way to do that is for everyone who's in the movie to be taking it completely seriously and playing all the reality of it as it's playing out. But I also think people liked Gemma, liked having a female lead in a movie who wasn't preoccupied with her love life and who was mostly known for being smart and who was a flawed parent and trying to figure out how to do this. I think people found that refreshing and easy to relate to.
Yeah, the movie is in theaters now. It opened on Friday. It is not the big viral success that the first Megan movie opened up to. That one went absolutely crazy. Every single thing about that first movie was through the roof, and this one is a little more slow building. So we'll see how it does at the box office this weekend. We know it'll beat the Pixar movie, at least.
Yeah, that's a good bet.
That much we know.
I'm surprised her dad, Brian, hasn't surfaced. He did that one election night broadcast for Apple, but nothing else.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised at that as well. I mean, he's certainly among the best known of the national news anchors.
Yeah, and enough time has passed now. I think people can't even remember now why he got booted off the NBC Nightly News. So it's time.
Yeah, he can live off of his daughter now.
Yeah,
time to relax.
Quick question. I know this was a Zoom interview, and ever since COVID, that's kind of been the norm. Are you disappointed? Do you miss the days when the stars would actually come to town and you could do a face-to-face interview with them, or they'd send you out to meet them? Now, most of the time, it's all Zoom, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about half and half now. It's way more than it was during COVID, when it was 100% Zoom. I was just in California this past weekend interviewing the cast of the new Superman movie, which I've seen, by the way, and I'll be telling you more about that next week. I was super, super excited for that.
It's easier for you, I guess, huh?
It's easier to do the Zoom interviews because, if we go to California to do an interview, it's about a three-day process, mm-hmm. especially if we go to Los Angeles or London or, someplace. There's a lot of travel time that's involved in all of that. But there is something nice about, sitting down one-on-one, literally face-to-face. But everybody's so used to these Zoom interviews now. It bothered me at first, but I don't think anybody minds it anymore.
They used to come to town, too.
Back
right?
in the Roy Leonard days. I was just talking about this with somebody the other day, that the first, when I first got hired at WGN, this was back in 1991 or 92 or something like that, Roy was still doing his nighttime show, and I walk in just to observe, and he's sitting there with Lauren Bacall.
Wow.
And he's I remember Roy sitting in studio in that big old studio that we used to have at Tribune Tower with Sophia Loren, or go down the list of the biggest stars in the world. They all used to come to town.
Yeah.
And because there were so few outlets back in those days, a stop at WGN, was a very, very, very big deal. Now, with online platforms and cable and podcasts
and Zoom.
There's so many places that the movie studios want to promote their films now, that it's to get a major A-lister to sit in a studio with somebody, anybody, for an hour is unheard of. We get mm-hmm. 5, 10, 15 minute stops.
Mm-hmm.
But it's changed. The whole profile of interviewing the celebrities has changed.
More first world problems with Dean Richards tomorrow.
Oh,
at this
tough.
Time.
It's tough.
Have a good one. Thank you, Dean.